Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Dan Huddleston's memoir is a story of overcoming, a story of succeeding, a story of achieving the American dream. His life has led him on a journey that is beyond his imagination. He participated in one of the most polarizing events in U.S. history, the Vietnam War. Also a participant, and quite possibly the most important event in U.S. labor history, the 1981 air traffic controller strike. That event led him to an amazing adventure. He lived outside of the United States for 9 years. He's been on 6 of the 7 continents, visited more than 90 countries. Now, along the way, a brilliant and beautiful young woman decided to become his partner and accompany him on that journey. The extraordinary life of an ordinary man is the story of that adventure. And back with us on This Week in America is the author, Dan Huddleston. Dan, welcome back to the program. A pleasure to have you back with us.
Thank you, Rick. It's a pleasure to be back with you.
What an amazing life you've led, and you write about it in your book, The Extraordinary Life of an Ordinary Man. Let's start with the concept of writing this book. When did you decide, you know, this would be an interesting story to tell? All that I've done, all that I've seen, all that I've experienced, it's a sort of a motivating book for all of us. How did you decide, when did you decide to write this?
Well, in 2018, I had an incredibly unfortunate event. My lovely lady passed away from cancer.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
And after she passed away, I was just kind of wandering around at loose ends, not knowing what to do with myself. And I started just jotting down memories, and I would relate them to my friends and family. And I started getting a lot of encouragement to turn it into a book. So I sat down and I started that process. It took me 15 months to write it. Then I went looking for a publisher, and I finally settled on an English publisher because I felt that since so much of it took place outside the United States, they would probably deal a little better with the international aspects of it.
Yes.
And that was a long, drawn-out affair, too. That took 22 months to go through the editing process, but then we finally got it published.
You know, that's interesting. It took longer after you published the original manuscript to get it published than it, you know, than it did to write that. Talk about the business aspect of that. And part of that, I guess, is, you know, publishing, finding the publisher, doing the editing, going back and redoing. How challenging was that for you once you finished writing to go back and do everything ready to get it ready for publication?
It was an interesting process, and we didn't always agree with the process. And there was a lot of back and forth, and I think it probably was added to the difficulty in the fact that they were in London and I was in Chicago. But they would send me areas that their editor had gone through, and I would go over them. I would make recommendations or corrections and send it back to them. And so it was just a continuous back and forth like that.
The book by Dan Huddleston is The Extraordinary Life of an Ordinary Man. Book available, of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, usual places. Amazon link is on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's talk about writing the book. How difficult, how challenging was that for you? There were highs and lows, a lot of this with the woman you fell in love with during part of this journey. How difficult was it for you and challenging to go back and to write this book?
It was, it certainly presented challenges. Fortunately, I have always had a really good memory, which helped me a lot in my career. So it required some time to sit down and dig deep in my memory and come up with the different events. But eventually we got where we needed to go.
And the result is a remarkable book receiving rave reviews, The Extraordinary Life of an Ordinary Man by Dan Huddleston, our guest on the program. I mentioned the two important events in your life, very important events in American history. You could probably write a book on each of those. Let's talk about Vietnam. Very briefly, what were your experiences during the Vietnam War?
Well, to begin with, I had a plan because I have a plan for everything. And the Air Force at the time had a program where if you spent 24 months out of the country, they had to send you back to the United States for a year before they could send you on another overseas assignment. So I had it all planned out. I would do an overseas tour for 24 months. I would come back for a year. Then I only had 6 months left, and it wasn't enough time for me to go to Vietnam. And so we had this thing called a dream sheet, and that was to tell the Air Force where you wanted to go. And they promised that if they couldn't send you where you wanted to go, they would send you where they wanted you to go. And so I put down Japan, Germany, and England as my three choices. And I got Japan. Unfortunately, halfway through my 24-month tour in Japan, they closed the base I was at. Wow. And since I was just down the road and around the corner, they sent me to sunny South Vietnam.
Yes.
And they sent me to Da Nang Air Base. It was in the northern part of the southern part of the country. It was an incredibly busy airport. And while Japan taught me the basics of my career, Vietnam really taught me how to be an air traffic controller. And it was challenging every day. We not only had massive volumes of traffic, but a lot of the traffic we worked had battle damage. There were days when we had to entertain things that were thrown at us by the North Vietnamese that went boom. So we spent time dodging that. But the value to my career was just incredible. And I can really look back and feel like Vietnam really really served to create the foundation for which the rest of my career developed from.
You can imagine being an air traffic controller number one and all the pressure that goes with that. And then you put that in the atmosphere, the circumstances of an ongoing war. I can only imagine what you were going through on a daily basis. That story and so many more comes to life in Dan's book, The Extraordinary Life of an Ordinary Man. Dan Huddleston is our guest on the program. That led to air traffic control. You're working. The strike comes about. Talk about that. This strike that happened in, I think it was 1981, really changed labor organizations, didn't it? Labor negotiations. It was a very hard stance by the President Reagan at the time. Talk about, you went through that on the inside. Give me some of your thoughts, especially now with when you look back over several decades.
Well, leading up to the strike, our union told us that they had received a letter from Ronald Reagan when he was campaigning to be president, where he said that if we would support his candidacy, he would support us in our contract negotiations. I was not part of that, so I have no idea how it turned out the way it did. But we, in June of 1981, we took a strike vote that failed. The numbers that we required in order to walk out the door were just incredible. And so then the union went into a nonstop political action campaign. And then in early August, we took a second vote, and this time we had the numbers, and we walked out. Just a short time after we walked out the door, President Reagan went on national television, and he told us that we had 48 hours to return to work or we would all be terminated. And then a few hours later, at Chicago Center, they locked the gates on us so we couldn't come back if we wanted to.
Just an amazing story. Yeah. Do you have any idea when that started, when you took the strike vote, and that's leverage on your side, the only leverage you really have? Did you have any idea it would end up in termination and that would be the end?
The event that led us to begin thinking that it was a lot more serious than we thought it would be, was when suddenly the FBI and the U.S. Marshals showed up at Chicago Center and started patrolling the perimeter fences. Wow. And suddenly we knew that we were in for a serious fight.
An amazing story. And there's so much more in Dan's book, The Extraordinary Life of an Ordinary Man, Dan Huddleston. That's Huddleston. Didn't mean to cut you off there, but when you realize what's happening and that really this is not what I would describe as good faith negotiations, what's going through your mind at that point? Was there ever any doubt that, you know, with the move we made, we shouldn't have made it, at least in the way we made it?
It happened so quickly that I don't think there was really even time for thoughts of that sort. I mean, we went out on the picket line, and suddenly, just a short time later, we got notice that we'd been terminated. And originally, we thought, you know, we'll be out a week, maybe we'll be out a month, and then everything will be settled, and we'll go back to work. And all of a sudden, that stark reality hit us that, no, we're not going back to work. And the termination was interesting in and of itself. The FAA hired a couple of rooms at a local hotel. They were joining rooms, and we were all given a date and time to appear. And you went into one room, and you waited until your time. Then you were met at the door by a uniformed police officer who escorted you to a desk. You signed the termination papers, and he escorted you out the door, and it was done.
Just an amazing story, and just one of many in the book, The Extraordinary Life of an Ordinary Man, Dan Huddleston. Back with us on the program, let's talk about travel. Let's get to some of the things that really, as you're reading it, in your writing style makes us feel like we're there. We're with you on all of these experiences. The book is so well written. It does give you wanderlust, which is something that what you had as a child. Where did that come from? Where did that desire to travel come from? How did that begin?
I suppose curiosity.
Yeah.
and the time in Japan and in Vietnam as well, that it certainly fed into that. And for the first time, I began to realize that there's a much broader world out there than we get to see. And I just really wanted the opportunity to taste it.
Well, and you've done that, and the experiences come to life. It makes you feel like you're there as you read Dan's book, The Extraordinary Life of an Ordinary Man. 6 out of the 7 continents, which one is still on the bucket list?
Well, that, of course, would be Antarctica.
Timing is important for that. Time it right.
Yeah. It's funny because when I got to Abu Dhabi, my first roommate was an English meteorologist, and he had just finished spending 7 consecutive years working in Antarctica.
Wow.
And so listening to his experiences, I suppose someday just to be able to step my foot on the shore and say I was there, but I don't know that I would like to spend a lot of time there.
Out of the 6 you picked, out of the 7 you picked the 6 that are the most attractive to go to. And it's amazing how air traffic control led you to this remarkable journey, all of these different countries. What were some of your favorites? What were some of the destinations that you'd like to go back and visit? Maybe you've gone back several times and visited. What are your favorites?
Well, the best answer is all of them. but I've been asked that question a lot. What were my favorites? And there's a multiple answer to it. Switzerland was so incredibly beautiful, just an amazingly beautiful country. Every time you turned a corner, you saw something more beautiful than what you'd seen before. But the Swiss were not necessarily easy for an outsider, an Ausländer, to live with. So we only stayed there for just under 2 years, and then we moved along. Abu Dhabi was an incredible social atmosphere. We enjoyed our time there. We had a big extended family that was about 50 people from a dozen different nationalities, and we were always doing things with them. Then Hong Kong, the Hong Kong Civil Aviation Authority was the best employer I've ever had. They cared about their people, and they bent over backwards to make you feel that they cared for you. So each of them had something extraordinary to offer, and those were the places that we lived. Places we've traveled to, it's just endless. Every place has something extraordinary to offer.
What a look at the world. Look, I want to talk about just a second here about aviation. You've had a chance to see aviation in a number of different countries. We're always a little concerned when we leave American Airlines and we go to another country and we're flying, obviously, aviation companies from those countries. What are your thoughts on international aviation? Generally safe? Should we be not concerned about flying on a foreign airline?
Well, first of all, I will say that from the standpoint of flying as a passenger, nearly the worst airlines out there are the American flag carriers, because somewhere along the way, they've kind of forgotten what customer service is all about.
Yes.
And it's
yes.
more about making profit. Most of the international airlines, with a few notable exceptions, they are incredibly good. The airlines really take care of their passengers. From the standpoint of the other end of it, the people on the ground that are guiding those aircraft, you have good quality air traffic controllers all across the world. They're well trained, they're disciplined, and they do an incredibly good job.
Well, that's good to hear. And no excuses now for the rest of us to get out and to do some travel. And when you read the book, The Extraordinary Life of an Ordinary Man, you'll realize, well, there's a big, wonderful world out there, and we really need to experience that. Experiencing it is one thing, and you enjoyed that, but you had the benefit of having someone there to share that with. Talk about how that came about and how remarkable that was, that love affair that you had, and being able to share all of this with her.
Well, first of all, I'll say that she was beyond incredible. She was beautiful and she was brilliant. I met her in 1986, and it would be fair to say that for whatever reason, she came looking for me. And we only had a few months, and then I had an interview in Canada for a job in the Middle East. And she never told me not to take the job. Instead, she started working on figuring out how she could go along with me. at the time, she was entering a graduate program. She had recently finished college, and so she was starting her first graduate degree. And so that first 2 years, I was in Abu Dhabi while she was finishing her education. And then we got married in 1989. We got married on the first day of July. We left the United States on the 4th of July, and it was 7 years before we came back to live. And we went to Switzerland first, then we went to Abu Dhabi, and then to Hong Kong from there. And finally, I was reinstated out of Hong Kong. Then once we came back to the United States, she went back to school. She trained into a new career, and she worked in that until that unfortunate event that took her life. And it was just the most amazing adventure with her.
What a remarkable love affair, and to be able to share all of these experiences worldwide. It truly is something special, and you'll read about that in The Extraordinary Life of an Ordinary Man by Dan Huddleston. If you're Googling, that's Huddleston. Link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, directly will take you to Amazon, and you'll be able to get information, order the book there as well. we talked about the extraordinary life, and you've touched on that, of an ordinary man. Let's talk briefly here at the end of the conversation about where you came from. When you were getting out of high school, leaving high school, did you ever see someday that, you know, I'm going to visit like 90 countries. I think I'm going to forget Antarctica, but I'm going to go to six of the continents. I'm going to be an international traveler, fall in love along the way, and take her with me. Did you have any idea what your life was going to be like?
Well, when I graduated from high school, I had no idea what kind of life was out there. I was pretty convinced at the time that I was going to end up in some basic job doing whatever just to make a living. And I had a coach who became a friend. He was my counselor in high school. And one day I told him about this incredible sounding career that I had read about in a book. And he said, okay, you're going to try to do that? And I said, nah, you got to be really smart to do that. And he said, all right, why not you? And he applied a lot of gentle pressure. He did the initial investigation to find out how I could go about getting involved in it. And that led me to the career field. And then one thing led to another.
You know, you read about air traffic control. You look at towers as you're going in the airport. You look in the tower as you're taking off from the airport. What is that like? I would think every day you pretty well have to leave your personal issues, any problems you have outside the door. When you go in there, that has to be total concentration, isn't it?
The focus is just incredible.
Yes.
You know, we refer to it as being in the zone.
Yes.
And that is where you're completely focused on what's going on right in front of you. But at the same time, you have what's called situational awareness, where you're still maintaining awareness of the things that are going on around you. So that if somebody has something they need to tell you, or if there's something unusual going on, you're able to recognize it and deal with it at the time.
When you finish that shift, what is that like? I would think you'd be totally drained at the end of a shift.
I suppose a lot depends on the individual.
Oh, yes.
For myself, it was the easiest thing that I've ever done in my life. I loved it the day I started, and I loved it the day they threw me out the door and every day in between.
You know, and that says something about any job that we have. I guess we can make it as stressful as we want to, as stressless as we want to. And second here at the end, let's talk about planning. How important, it didn't really work in them. You ended up in Vietnam with that plan, but you talk about things that were planned out. How important is that? And were you able to follow a plan throughout your career and life?
Well, the worst time for planning was during the 6 years after the strike and before I got the first job in Abu Dhabi. I was just at loose ends. I had no idea what to do. I went back to school. I got a degree. And then I worked in television for a while. And I did directing and producing and on-camera work and behind-camera work. And it was a lot of fun, but it was 100 hours a week for $12,000 a year. In the process, my first marriage was dissolving, and I needed something that would pay me enough to live on. And I took a job as a manager at a Wendy's hamburger store. After a while, I figured out that I didn't like the idea of smelling like mustard and onions all the time. So I moved along to an American Eagle Outfitters store and worked as a manager there. And I was working there until I was led to the first job in the Middle East. And off I went, and the rest is history, as they say.
And documented in Dan's book, The Extraordinary Life of an Ordinary Man. So many stories, and you share many of those. Have you given a thought to a second book?
Well, I'm getting a lot of encouragement for it. And so, yes, I'm thinking about it, but I haven't really done anything to start it yet.
Well, that's good. Remember, the easy part is writing it. It's dealing with editors and publishers that will take the time. You'll know, you'll know going in this time. It's always a pleasure to have Dan on the program. So many great stories. He brings them to life. An amazing and very talented writer. The writing style will capture your attention and keep you there and wonder what's going to happen next to Dan in his life. The book, The Extraordinary Life of an Ordinary Man. Dan Huddleston, book available, of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold, a link on our website. I'd like to thank King Pages Press for arranging our conversation today. King Pages Press, the author's marketing consultant, results-oriented, making sure your work gets the attention it truly deserves, kingpagespress.com. Dan, it is always a pleasure. Hopefully we can do this again. So many more stories. A pleasure having you with us on the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate it.
It is our pleasure. Dan Huddleston, author of The Extraordinary Life of an Ordinary Man. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.